What a great day it is that God has blessed us with. We want to share with you some good news this morning. Seems like every morning we meet, we seem to see the success of the gospel. And so we want to introduce to you two of our newest members here who have been baptized this past week. Would Martin Espinoza please stand up if you are in our audience? You hear Martin? There he is, all the way in the back. All right, we have a certificate we want to give you. Martin was baptized on Super Bowl Sunday. Welcome to the family, brother. I'm not sure that we have our other certificate here. Kaylin Brown was baptized last Tuesday, I think it was. And so she is one that we also want to welcome to our family here at Southwest. And hopefully we'll see her. Is Kaylin here? I don't think she's here. We'll see her next Sunday, Lord willing. If you want to follow along this morning, our passage that we'll be focusing on this morning in the lesson is one that I'm sure is familiar to many of us. So you can just take your Bibles and open to John chapter 3. You can also follow along in the bulletin. There's a sermon outline there for our lesson this morning. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love, it's the only thing that there's much too little of. You know that song, don't you? That is a song that might come to your mind when you would see the title of my sermon this morning, What the World Needs Now. That song may come to mind, but I'm also hoping a verse will come to mind. A verse maybe that will actually come to your heart. A verse that many of us are familiar with, which of course is probably the world's most popular verse of all, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus, talking about the world, he said it this way. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Maybe that is a verse that comes to mind when you think about God's love for the world. What I want to do this morning is take a look at that verse, but I also want to go beyond that verse. It's a verse that's very popular. I mean, you see it at the football games. You see it. People have shirts that have it on there. If you go to In-N-Out Burgers, you can see John 3:16. I think it's on their little cup. If you turn it upside down on the cup, you'll see John 3:16. Maybe that's something you didn't know. Some trivia for today. But that is a verse that's very popular. And sadly, a lot of times what we end up doing is we read the verse and we don't really talk about the verses that come after it. So I want to extend that a little this morning. And we'll talk about what the world needs now, looking at the rest of Jesus' words in John chapter 3, from verse 16 all the way down to verse 21. We're going to focus on three words this morning in this text as we look at John 3:16 and the verses beyond. Three words that I'm actually very grateful, I think, in his genius, our brother George Weed, made sure those words that we're going to look at this morning, the three words, were actually scattered throughout the songs that we sang this morning. The words love, life, and light. Those will be our three key words as we talk about the love that God has for the world today in light of the fact of what does the world need now? Yes, the world needs love, but we'll also see that the world today needs life and the world needs light, as we again look this morning at John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Here's the way we'll break it down. The world needs love, the world needs life, and the world needs light in these three verses. You know, our world needs a lot of things today, and maybe sadly, because of the way our economy seems to be hitting on all cylinders today, as people go to vote this year in November, they'll be probably thinking about the economy, thinking that's what the world needs, isn't that? If everyone, every nation could have the great economy that we have today in America, well, that's what the world needs. And maybe that would reveal some of the shallow minds that we have in our world today. So we're going to take a deeper look at that. And from a biblical viewpoint, we'll talk this morning about what the world really needs. John chapter 3 and the verses following, verse 16, John the apostle, and he really does this throughout the rest of the book, he hits on these very three key words: love, life, and light. These are things that we need in order to make it to heaven. Let's talk first about our need for love in the world. Again, the words of Jesus in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Our world today, I'm sure this is no news to any of you, our world today is looking for love. Not just on February the 14th, as we will experience this Friday, but the world is looking for love all over the place, on every day, on every calendar. We're constantly looking for love. In fact, as human beings, we have it built into our DNA. That is the way that God created us. He created us with a need to love and to be loved. The trouble is that humans today, sadly, are looking in all the wrong places for love. We look to it from our parents as children. As parents, we then begin to look for it in our children. We look for it in our siblings. We look for it in our spouses. We look for love in a friend. We look for love even in a pet. Yes, I know there are pet lovers out there. But our parents, well, they grow old and they die. Our children, they grow up and they live their own lives eventually. Our siblings, well, they move on, they move out. Our spouses, they get busy and they sometimes can't love us the way we want to be loved and are certainly not perfect. And our friends, sometimes our friends are, the love that we get from our friends is sometimes superficial and very conditional upon things that we do. And of course, well, our pets, they can't talk to us. They can't, maybe some of our pets can hug us. But we don't get that love back from these sources. Who can truly understand the need that is in the human heart? Where is the love that we really need going to be found? Well, the Bible says, and Jesus says, that love, true love, not superficial, conditional love, but true love can only be found in the heart of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, God is love. That's pretty funny, or you know, interesting how you could take one word, God, and then say, is love. He's one word. Well, that's what He's all about. He's all about love. Oh yes, He is a God that will judge us one day. He is a God that is angry at sin. He is a God that is a creator. He's a God that is holy. He's a God that is righteous. And there's lots of things that can be said about God. But one thing we really must come back to in all cases is to really acknowledge that God is love. He is love. Love can be found in Him. Man was created to love and to be loved ultimately by God. That's really, I mean, if we're going to know how we can have love with other human beings, we really, to have true love for them, we have to first love God and be loved by God. When we get that kind of love and when we give that kind of love to God, then we can be better lovers with others. And it all has to do with the fact of this love relationship that we have with God. We could also kind of take that idea and say that it has to do with our relationship or with a fellowship that we have with God. So when we love God, when He loves us, we're in that love relationship, that fellowship with Him, then we become better lovers. The only thing that messed all of this up was sin. Sin is what destroys this wonderful love that God has for us and that we should have for God. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 2, your sins have separated you from your God. God wants a relationship with you. He wants a love relationship with you. But sin, your iniquities, your wrongdoings have destroyed that love relationship. But the good news is, as we look at the Bible, God is into remedies. He doesn't like broken things, especially a broken relationship between us and Him. He doesn't want that. I mean, that's His nature. God is love. He wants to have that love relationship. Sin comes in, destroys that, and God is into remedies. So what He did was He made a way for us to get back to Him. That way is very simply Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says that Jesus, in fact, is not just a way. He's the only way. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. He is the remedy. He is the fix. He is the way that we can get back into that love relationship with God. Do you sometimes in your own life, do you doubt the love of God? Because of the bad things that He allows to happen sometimes to good people, Satan uses that to try to get us to doubt God's love. Because of the unfairness in our world, because of the injustice, because of the unkindness, because of the suffering in our world today, some people begin to doubt the love of God. But don't let that cause you to believe that God, above all of that, don't let that let you believe that God doesn't love you. He still loves you in spite of all of that. And the cross of Jesus Christ is what proves that love. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. So God loves us. He proved it through Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that He would rather die than live without you. He sent His only Son into the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sent His Son to die for our sins. That is the measure of His love. I want to talk now about something else that our world needs today. There's really, I mean, that's one sermon in itself to talk about the fact that we need love. We need love from God. But I also now want to talk about the fact that in John chapter 3, as we move on past verse 16, we also find out that our world today needs life. We need life. Jesus meets our need for life. What does it say here in the text? It says in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus also meets our need for life right here. Because of the sins that we have committed, we're not only separated from God, but we are also condemned by our sins to an eternity in hell. We are under condemnation because of our sins. Eternal separation from God, in fact, is the worst kind of life, or I should say maybe existence, than you can ever imagine. None of us in this room this morning even scratch the surface of knowing the horrors of hell. Oh, we talk about hell. We joke about hell. We don't understand hell. We don't understand how bad it is. We don't understand the eternity that it is. We don't really understand eternity, let alone eternity without God. And this is the condemnation, Jesus said, that is in the world today. Eternal separation from God. Every time that you see the word death in your Bible, you can always insert the word separation. There are two kinds of separation. There's a physical separation and there is a spiritual separation. And again, when you see that word death in your Bible, and if it is a physical reality, then we're talking about the separation of the body from the soul. So when we die, when our heart stops beating, there's a separation. The body as we see it goes into the ground or is here on earth. And then when the person dies, that soul goes to be with its creator. That is the physical separation. Now there's a separation which the Bible even calls the second death. Death is a separation. The second death or second separation is if that soul still has sin in it, then that soul will be separated from its sinless creator for an eternity. That's the second death. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says that the soul that sins, it shall die. So now we're talking about a soul, not the physical body, but a soul once it's separated from the physical body, that soul will be separated from God because of sin throughout eternity. The soul that sins, it shall die. And what kind of problem is that? Well, guess what? That is a global problem. That is a world problem because Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned, that's the world, and fall short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God is being in condemnation, separated from God throughout eternity. That's a big falling short because every sinner or every person on earth is a sinner. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now what happens is we're looking then at the reality of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The wages, that is, you work for the devil and you get that paycheck from him at the end, the wages, the payoff is death, not physical death, separation from God through eternity, the spiritual death, the second death. So that is the problem. That is the condemnation that the world is under. Here's the thing, though. Jesus said that when God, look at verse 17 right up there. When God sent his son, can I put it this way? He didn't send his son to come and shake his finger at all of you to further condemn you. Your sin already did that. Why did he send his son? Not to condemn you, not to judge you, not to throw you in a prison called hell. He came, it says, to what? Save the world. That is, take away the condemnation and give you life. That's why Jesus came. You know, we always think about, you know, people that how do I put this way? Some people, let's just put it that way. Some people think of God as this great cosmic judge above the clouds, looking down on us, ready to send a lightning bolt down to everyone who does every little thing that's wrong. And then the big lightning bolt, the exclamation on that is hell when it's all done. That's the God that judges the world, that's come to condemn the world. And Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. The only thing now that stands in the way is whether or not you'll accept him, whether or not you'll believe in him, whether or not you'll come to him for salvation. So if you believe in him, what does it say there in the verse? If you believe in him, if you turn to him for salvation, he says, you are not condemned. You see that? He who believes in him is not condemned. So he came to save the world. You know, we need to understand today that God, he is not going to send anyone to hell. Who was hell created for? You know the verse? Matthew The hell was created for the devil and his angels. And guess what? They're already there. That's who he created hell for. He didn't create it for you. No, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People will choose that. By not choosing Jesus, they will choose condemnation. They will choose that kind of existence throughout eternity. God doesn't send anyone to hell. Those who go there choose to go there. God, it says, and the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to come to Jesus, turn our sins over to Him, turn away from sin, repent, and turn to Him. That's what God wants. He wants us to not be under condemnation. And so we find that idea right here in John 3, verses 17 through 18. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus, it might surprise you, actually spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Now, I know there's a lot of verses, especially in the New Testament, that talk about heaven, but if you're just looking at the words of Jesus and what he said, you know, the red letters, as we sometimes say, the words of Jesus, he actually said more about hell than he did about heaven. We don't want to think about hell. Some people don't really believe that there is a hell. People will joke about hell, make light of hell, because they don't really want to think about the reality, the severity of it. They don't really want that. But let me tell you, hell is real. It is. It's not our favorite subject, but it is real. It's a place of physical agony. It is a place that the Bible describes as weeping and gnashing of teeth. You ever know, you want to know why they're gnashing their teeth? You ever gnashed your teeth at something? It's because usually you're angry at something, or because you're thinking back on a decision you could have made that would have been better, that would have put you in a better situation, and you are regretting it. That's why there's gnashing of teeth. We're talking about an eternity of regret where you said, I had all that time on earth to turn to Jesus, and I didn't, and now I can't change that situation. I'm gnashing my teeth. There is regret. There is darkness. There is, oh, by the way, darkness. Well, why darkness? Well, darkness is, you know, you ever been somewhere where you were alone and you had no one to turn to, and it's just darkness all around? There's darkness, there's weeping, gnashing of teeth. This is a place, when we talk about darkness, we're talking about void of light. You ever been somewhere, I don't want to be, you could never really live in a place of darkness for very long. You'd eventually want someone to flip on the light so you can grab a bite to eat, or you can, whatever, you can do something. Darkness forever. Nothing to see in that place. It is a place that if you're in darkness, guess what? Your full attention is on the misery that you are experiencing. If you ever were in a lot of pain and someone turned on the light, at least you could say, well, at least I can see other things to think of. But your full focus now, because you're in darkness, you can't see anything. Your full focus is going to be on that agonizing misery that you're going through. Again, it is a place of loneliness, a place of isolation, a place where there is no one to comfort you. It's a place of separation from God. The Apostle Paul described it this way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of God forever. Even in our sin-sick world today that we live in, where mass shootings and horrible things are taking place, guess what? God's presence is still here. God's presence is still among us, restraining all the full ammunition of evil that could be poured out on this planet. We enjoy right now, not just in this building, but we'll enjoy even a difficult week that we might go through this week. We're enjoying still the fact that God is present. His sovereign hand is over things, regulating the temperature of heat. His hand is on the thermostat so it won't get too hot. Yes, we are enjoying the presence of God. Now, why am I spending, Brother Rowe, why are you spending so much time talking about hell? Well, the reason why is because I'm trying to get you to appreciate heaven. and appreciate that you don't have to go to a place where there's eternal death. Instead, you can have eternal life. We're talking about the fact that Jesus came because he saw our need for life. But this condemnation that we're talking about this morning is not what God desires for anyone. He did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. But we've got to believe in that son, that only begotten son. We've got to believe in Jesus Christ. We've got to turn to him for salvation so that we can escape the condemnation. All right, let's go to our last point this morning. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the world needs now is life. And what the world needs now, and we had this word in our song this morning too, is the word light, our need for light. Something in the human heart causes us to yearn for the thing that keeps us from what we really need. We love darkness rather than light, because we sin and we don't like being exposed for our sins. Jesus says here in John chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men, he says, love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Nicodemus, whom Jesus was talking to here, is being bluntly told that his unbelief was evil. That even his good deeds, see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, even his good deeds were still exposed as insufficient. What was keeping Nicodemus from believing was the fear of acknowledging that his life had been wasted, that he had not lived a good enough life, because none of us can. We're all, even just one sin, we're under condemnation. And so, Nicodemus is carefully cultivated righteousness, even your carefully cultivated righteousness, is to God a filthy rag. I didn't say that. The prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Your righteousness is a filthy rag before God. It is not good enough. Nicodemus, and all of us here today, we are no better than the next sinner who stands under the condemnation of God. And as painful as and as revealing as it is, church, we need light. I'm not talking about physical light. I'm not talking about let's have all the lights turned on in here. We need light, a light from above, a light from God, a light that will bring us into fellowship with God. You know, light is something that Jesus points out in verse 20, I think it is, or 21. Light is something that brings truth. It is something that shows the truth. And it's the truth that our works are not good enough. But it's also the truth that, guess what? Your works are good enough when they are done, look at the last part of the verse, when they're done in God. You can think that your deeds are good all you want. You can pat yourself on the back all you want and say, I'm a person that does some pretty good things. But those things are not good unless they are done in God. We have come to Him. We have to come to Him. We have to come to His Word to see if those things can stand up in the light of God. And if you come to God and you want to stand in that light and you want to stand before God and you have all the good, the resume, the spiritual resume that you want that lists all these good things, again, you will still fall short unless you come to God with Jesus in your hand. with God. Before God, you come to Him with the sinless Savior who will take you right into the light of God. Those deeds will only be good if they are done in Christ Jesus. I've got to tell you something this morning. Good people do not go to heaven. Forgiven sinners go to heaven. You've got to come to Jesus Christ. You've got to lay all your filthy rags before Him. Yeah, those good deeds. And say, this is not good enough. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to walk in Him. I want to be covered in His blood and step into that light so I can step into God's light. As we close this morning, we extend an invitation. And as we extend this invitation, we're going to sing a song inviting you to come forward if you want to come to Jesus and be saved. But also realizing that maybe this morning, it's not something that you want to do publicly. And that's okay, because we invite you to come to one of our ministers here, David Brown, myself, Reggie. Come to one of the elders, our shepherds here, and say, you know what? I need to get saved. I need to come to Christ. And so we want to extend that invitation now, but even after service is over, you want to make that known to us privately, we invite you to come. You are a person, all of us, we all, this world, we need love, we need life, and we need light. And I'm asking you today, do you have these things in your life? Maybe this Friday, on February the 14th, you'll have someone dear to you. You can say, hey, listen, this is my Valentine. I'll tell you something. God, He wants to be your Valentine. He wants you to have love, true love, His love in your life. He wants you to have life, life more abundantly, life eternal life with Him in heaven. And He wants you to have light so that your deeds can be done in Jesus Christ. And you can spend eternity with Him. And so as we close this morning, we're gonna be, you know, maybe this is a week that we're going to be really experiencing a lot of love. But the greatest love is the love of God that only Jesus Christ offers. We're going to close our services now. So if you're subject to the gospel call, coming to Jesus is really not that difficult. We say, I believe that He's God's Son. I want to turn away from my sin. The Bible calls it repentance and turn to God. And I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And we've had two folks last week that did that. Come right now as we stand to sing.